Welcome to the Research Data Alliance Data Streams podcast series, a place where researchers, scientists, and data professionals share their experiences of working together in the global Research Data Alliance community to address and solve the challenges of sharing and managing research data. My name is Stephanie Hagstrom, and I am the Director of Community Development at the RDA US and the host of this podcast. This podcast is included as part of the Research Data Alliance 10-year anniversary celebration. Each month of 2023, from February to November, has been dedicated to a specific theme related to research data management. This podcast is included as part of the February 2023 theme of FAIR Data. We will be hearing today from two of the co-chairs of the RDA FAIR for Virtual Research Environments Working Group, Sandra Gessing, Senior Research Scientist, Scientific Outreach and DEI Lead at the Discovery Partners Institute at the University of Illinois in Chicago, USA, and Carrie Levitt, Platforms Program Manager from the Australian Research Data Commons in Australia. They will share with us information about the working group activities, what their motivation was to start this group, what challenges and potential impacts they are addressing, what outputs they have planned, and of course, how you can get involved. We really do appreciate and thank you both for taking the time to share with us today. And we're going to have a conversation between Carrie and Sandra today. So I'm going to turn it over to Carrie for you to begin. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Stephanie. My name is Carrie Levitt, and I work for the Australian Research Data Commons, or ARDC, and I'm based in Adelaide, South Australia. We should start by defining what we're talking about. So virtual research environments are also called virtual laboratories or virtual labs. And in the US, they're called science gateways. And in Australia, we call them research platforms. They're generally online environments that enable researchers to do something with data, whether that's collecting or generating data or analyzing or visualizing those data. Or they could be a virtual environment for collaborating with other researchers and sharing tools. For example, one of the research platforms just launched in Australia is called EcoCommons, and it's for ecological modelling. When you go to the website and log into the virtual lab, you have access to a number of curated, published ecological models, such as species distribution models. You can search over 6,000 environmental datasets, which you can then feed into the models or analyse using R or Python right there in the virtual lab. You can then publish your workflows and results, so you have a reproducible workflow. Sandra, what are examples of what you call science gateways in the US?
Thanks, Gary. I'm Sandra Gessing, and I'm a senior research scientist at the Discovery Partners Institute in Chicago. Examples for science gateways include Galaxy, which is a workflow-enabled science gateway framework that allows to connect to external databases and functions like a toolbox, where people can select tools and plug and play them together as a workflow in a graphical user interface. Our HubZero has its strengths in connecting to a diversity of batch systems, cloud systems, and volunteer computing infrastructure. And it enables people to collaborate on data and simulations in a fine-grained way, sharing in a project or publicly accessible data. NanoHub, one of the main science gateways that was the basis for HubZero technology, has over 1 million visitors per year worldwide being in nanotechnology. SUNYverse is a great example for a citizen science gateway where the general public can support science by counting penguins, for example, because penguins are hard to distinguish for pattern recognition programs. Another fun project is the Serengeti project, where people can classify which animals they see in pictures. One fun interaction was showing in one picture a hyena approaching a camera. The next one shows the inner mouth of the hyena, which would have been not easy to define without the sequence of pictures before.
Thanks, Sandra. And for those who haven't heard of FAIR, it stands for Findable, Accessible, Interoperable and Reusable. And it's a goal of reproducible research to have FAIR data, software and workflows. So the FAIR for Virtual Research Environments, or FAIR for VRE's working group, grew out of the Virtual Research Environments interest group. Sandra, you're a co-chair of that interest group. Do you want to tell us how the working group got started?
Yeah, Virtual Research Environment Interest Group was founded in 2016 at the 7th RDA plenary via a BAF. We realized the opportunity to discuss important research infrastructures like VREs with the RDA community, which is a much more diverse community than at other technical conferences I normally attend. And being at RDA plenaries supports reaching different domains. The first three meetings of the VIEIG featured a lot of discussions focused on common understanding of what kind of concept we are talking about around VIEs And there were lively doubts whether we can use the terms VIE, science gateways, research platforms as synonyms. Since RDH chose the European term mostly for the plenaries and interest groups and working groups, we will use VIEs for the rest of the podcast instead of always repeating all of them. We decided this is the most inclusive approach I always voted for, since we talk about a concept of developing end-to-end solutions for researchers and educators. We are aware that not all communities feel addressed by the term science gateways or VIE, for example, but we hope with mentioning synonyms and the goals of VIEs that also underserved communities such as social sciences are joining more and more the VIE community. So the interest group seeks to build the required technical bridges, skills, and social communities that enable global sharing and processing of data across technologies, disciplines, and countries through the creation of shared online virtual environments. As individual VSEs, also VIE frameworks and communities grow, they need to also connect with other major research infrastructures. Thus, we discussed interoperability, sustainability, reference architectures, large research infrastructures, cutting-edge approaches, and vision for the next 10 years, since everything we need in 10 years need to start to be developed by now. So the interest group is the umbrella group for organizing working groups so that the community can grow and focus on distinctive working tasks. And this working group, the FAIR4 VIE working group, is sponsored by the interest group, and it's first official working group, so we started to pull together the case statement in mid-2021 when the FAIR for Research Software Working Group released their draft principles. The practical approaches after the FAIR publication in 2016, the first one about data, of making digital objects such as data, software, and workflows made very clear that no digital object can be made FAIR in isolation. Digital infrastructure is needed to store, manage, analyze, and share digital objects and make them discoverable. How infrastructure such as VIE provide storage and access to digital objects and how the VIE supports have a large impact on the fairness of digital objects themselves. VIE should enable fairness in the digital objects that they create or produce, and at the very least should not make digital objects that they process less fair. For example, let's say you use HubZero for running simulations. The results can be kept private, of course, and there might be reasons before a publication or patent, but HubZero also supports to share it in a group or publicly, and you can also work with DOIs, the digital object identifiers, which is a good start for fairness. VIEs themselves should also be fair. That means they should be easily discoverable and accessible. They should interoperate with other research infrastructures, and they should support to be reusable to improve development efficiency. With this in mind, our working group developed goals Carrie will talk about now.
Thanks, Sandra. As you said, although the original 2016 FAIR principles were intended to apply to more than just data, virtual research environments are inherently complex systems, and it's really difficult for developers to know how they should implement those principles. So our goal in the working group is to provide practical guidance to developers of VREs on how they can make their VREs fair and enable fairness in the digital objects like data or workflows that they process or produce. So we're not trying to develop a whole new set of principles. We started by going through the FAIR principles for data and the new ones for software and seeing where there was a direct relevance to VREs and where there were gaps or things that just didn't work for VREs. So for example, if you mint a persistent identifier like a DOI for a VRE, are you minting the DOI for just the software that makes up the VRE? Or can you mint a DOI for the instance of the software that is available to users as an online service? And then how then do you cope with the different versions of that online service? Do you mint a new DOI every time there's a bug fix or only for major new releases? But luckily for us, the FAIR for Research Software Working Group had already grappled with a lot of these questions for software. And we were able to build on their incredible work. Even just having a shared language to use to ask the right questions really helped in our initial discussions. But even so, many of the FAIR principles still had tricky questions around them when we tried to relate them to VREs. So we put those questions to the community at RDA plenary meetings and got some really interesting feedback. Sandra, what do you think are the most challenging aspects of this work?
Thanks, Gary. Yeah, the feedback and also our work on it shows that defining fair for hearings is very complex. Prior work, as described by Carrie, were definitely cornerstones for our work, but we realized soon that VREs need much more layered approach. VREs are software frameworks themselves that should be fair via the developed guidelines for research software. Then there are instances of VREs for concrete communities that might include workflows, simulations, and data. So each digital object in a VRE can be fair again. We can make differences, for example, between data that is needed as input, intermediate outputs, and final results. Intermediate outputs might be interesting from a reproducibility perspective, but that every intermediate output would be treated like final results is probably not necessary. So there are a lot of different aspects to consider. Also, the variety of VREs. VREs can look different. They might focus on exchanging lab data and analyzing it, while others made for computational simulations to create the crucial data as research results, such as molecular simulations. Some VREs support workflows, some allow for connecting to external databases or data sources. Some frameworks provide RESTful APIs so that you might easily access data and tools via such APIs, while others just allow to use them via the web user interface. For each of the use cases, a fair adoption might look totally different. We have produced draft guidelines for VRE developers, and we are now starting to test these with use cases. You are testing this with your Australian research platforms, aren't you, Carrie?
Yes, we are. So I run a program for the ARDC with 26 projects that are building research platforms, as we call VREs. And the projects are required to make their platforms or VREs fair and fair enabling. And it's a great opportunity to both test the draft guidelines and get adoption of the final guidelines. So we have a really strong community of platform developers in Australia, and we've been working with them over the last year as we've been grappling with these complex questions in the working group, testing out ideas and getting feedback from the platform developers as they build their VREs. One of the most interesting things some of our project teams asked was why? Why make our VREs fair? So they were already working towards making sure their VREs produced data that was interoperable and reusable. But why did the VRE itself need to be interoperable and reusable? So one of the most important things for ARDC is to make digital research infrastructure coherent and seamless for the users. And to do that, VREs need to interoperate with each other. We're also keen to make sure that the infrastructure development and operation is as efficient as possible. So being able to reuse components of VREs is really important. And to do that, you need to be able to find out about them and understand them. So you need good descriptive metadata and appropriate licenses. So as we continue our work building digital research infrastructure in Australia, including VREs, we'll use the FAIR for VREs guidelines for all of our projects. Sandra, how will you be testing the guidelines with Science Gateways in the US?
Yeah, thanks, Gary. For Science Gateways, I will look into Galaxy for testing our guidelines. Galaxy is one of the worldwide used Science Gateways, and they did already fair projects to integrate more features. And the Science Gateways Community Institute team got in September the US NSF Center of Excellence for Science Gateways. I work currently with colleagues on a blog post series on fair for Science Gateways, and we will disseminate the results of this working group further. But before we get to that point, we have to finalize our guidelines, of course. So there's still plenty of time for listeners to get involved in the working group.
Absolutely. We are presenting our draft guidelines at the upcoming 20th plenary in Gothenburg next month. And several of us will be present in Sweden, and we'd love to meet and talk more there. And of course, online attendees are also very welcome. I'll be joining online from Australia.
So, and if you're not able to make the plenary session, you are still very welcome to join our group. We meet monthly. They've tried hard to find a time that suits US, Europe, and Australia. I bet rather early in the morning for Australia. So thank you, Carrie, that you take that on. So joining the group is easy. Firstly, sign up to the Research Data Alliance, which is free for individual members. And after that, visit our group's page on the RDA website. That's FAIR for Virtual Research Environments Working Group, and select Join Group option. We have also group email address listed on that page and would be very happy to hear from anyone who is keen to join us. And we thank, of course, RDA US for giving us this opportunity to present the working group activities. Thank you, Stephanie. We appreciate having this opportunity to present our work.
So we really appreciate both of you taking the time to present the work. It's really wonderful. But I want to thank you both. We certainly do recognize and thank you and all the members of the working group and the interest group for the enormous contributions and commitment that you give to this community. Thanks to the listeners for joining our podcast, and please visit the RDA website at rd-alliance.org to join the community. Thanks for listening.
The Data Streams podcast series is hosted by the Research Data Alliance U.S. region and funded by the U.S. National Science Foundation. Upbeat Theme Loop, created by Mirth Nirona, is used under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the group or outputs discussed on today's podcast, or to listen to other episodes, find us at rd-alliance.org/podcast or on the Research Data Alliance's YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.